Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, welcome, Max. I'm delighted to welcome the European Ryder Cup captain for 2020, Padraig Harrington, to the show. Padraig, good evening.
Good evening, Joe. How are you doing?
Very well. You'll have to get used to that.
Yeah, and it's been pretty busy, even though it's only 24 hours now. I'm actually, well, I suppose to start, I shouldn't be surprised, but there's a lot going on.
Yeah, I'm sure you're getting lots of congratulations and lots of well wishes and I guess a slightly surreal thing as well, that it's finally here and it's real and it's happening and it's all kicking off.
A little bit scary, that. Yeah, it kind of says you're getting to the end of your career, doesn't it? It's here. It is, and I really mean it is here. That's certainly been brought home over the last couple of days, not just with the well wishes and the texts and things like that, but just with the... It's a different feel to us. I'm not my own boss anymore.
Do you know, it struck me yesterday, I watched the press conference. I didn't see too much other media that you did, but it struck me watching the press conference that you were breaking the habit of a lifetime in that you've generally been, just so brilliantly interesting from a media point of view, but you've gone in there, you've done your press conferences, you've talked away and then never bothered too much with how the media covered it or read or listened to what was said about you. And suddenly you're in there and it struck me, you are now speaking and there are 12 to 20 to, I guess if you include the other team, to 30 people who will be paying very close attention to what you say and how you say it and how it's all presented. And it struck me watching, this must be quite different for him. I wonder, is he second guessing himself?
I have to be a little bit more thoughtful. There's no doubt about it. As you said, I am representing the Ryder Cup now, so I can't necessarily throw out flipping comments and because obviously something that's funny when you say it's not necessarily funny when it goes down in print. I suppose you have to be careful that you're not too challenging in your statements and things like that. So, yeah, it because the Ryder Cup is such a big international deal, because it's obviously a competitive match one-on-one, there is an element of people who are writing the stories, the media, they want a big story, they want a contentious story in some ways. So yeah, it is slightly different media focus for me. With the tour, I have a permanent media guy with me all the time now. Yeah. When it comes to doing this stuff, everything goes through. Before it was just me and my manager and. And most of the time I just did it myself, but now everything is goes through the tour, it's checked, okay, this is what we're doing.
Mm. And I presume you want to keep a lid on things. You don't want it to become contentious. You don't feel it suits a European team to have a war by the shore type atmosphere, especially in America, or is ramping things up at times useful?
I know the guys who are in the running for captaincy, vice captaincy, I've played with them. And most of them are pretty similar to myself, that they're pretty tough characters on the golf course. They play hard, but they're all played in the traditions of the game of golf. They're fair. They don't want to win anything with an asterisk. These guys are tough competitors, but they definitely play the game the right way. And I can go through all the guys who are potentially going to be there in terms of vice captain, and every one of them. I suppose it lasted this long in golf. You kind of have to be like that in golf, because if you set yourself aside, you get alienated pretty quickly in golf. If you're not playing by the rules and taking the proper drops on the golf course, if you're abusing the edges of the rules, you're found out pretty quickly. And these guys are solid guys who I expect a very tough match, but I expect they want to win the right way.
Mm. Were you nervous yesterday, as a matter of interest, when you were stepping out to face the media?
I didn't think I was, but when I finished up the media yesterday, I was wiped. And that's unusual for me now at this stage. I clearly, it's a couple of hours before it and during it, it wasn't that long. It was only 3 hours of media, actually, but build up on that. It took much more out of me than I expected. It reminded me, if I did a talk 10 years ago, 15 years ago, it would take me a long time to recover. Now it's run-of-the-mill stuff. I can do it and I'm fine. Mm. This really wiped me. And even today, your listeners are not going to like me for this, but I basically went to the bed yesterday afternoon and I did the same again today.
Wow. Interesting. Are you going to start reading media coverage now?
No.
You might have to break that habit to keep tabs on how it's all shaping up, no?
No, definitely not. The European Tour media liaison, he had to break a habit of a few years. He had to change his Google search from Thomas Bjorn to Porter Cairns.
He'll get the notifications at all hours.
Yeah.
I noticed it was very striking. You used language yesterday, you know, where you talked about it being daunting and, you know, I hope I can add. And, you know, I guess some of this is outside of your control. And you talked about your golfing legacy being on the line a little bit. Look, I guess that's true because I must confess, and I'm not trying to lead you down a path here of commenting on Nick Faldo's captaincy. So don't feel like I'm doing that. But I must confess, when I think of Nick Faldo as an example, and maybe it's my age as much as anything, but I don't. I actually think of Valhalla almost as quickly as I think of the six majors. So it is a big thing, whether if you win or lose, it will follow you around a little bit. You will be remembered by a generation for it. It struck me you were certainly aware of that.
Yeah, look, I'm going to be 49. I'm 47 now. I'm going to be 49 when it happens. There's an element of this. Oh, it's my time. You've won your three majors. It's payback for your career in Europe. Walk into the job and do the job because you're the man.
Yeah.
But do I really want to do it? I'm not going to do it for the sake of doing it. And I had to sit back and look at that and see, well, do I want to put this on the line? Do I feel I'm capable of managing a team just because I've had a good career hitting a little white ball around the golf course?
Yeah.
They're two different jobs.
Yeah,
they really are. And you know, I said this yesterday. This is not like Premiership football. If I do a bad job, I don't get another go. Mm. This is one and done.
Mm.
So there is an element of pressure on. And if you fail, even if you're a good captain, if you fail, people will find reason for fault. If you win, and you're not a great captain, it'll be overlooked. You just had a win. So it is very black and white. The Ryder Cup.
Yeah,
and you know, I just wanted to make sure I understood what I was going into.
Yeah, no, it does strike me as one of the more outcome based verdicts on a captaincy.
Oh.
It's really tough. Everything you do is wrong. Everything you do is right. Was it a quick process to decide that you did want to do it and you did feel you could do it?
This is years, 2 years at least. You know, this is I possibly for 2018, I could have been in the running with Thomas. And, you know, to be honest, my succession to the 2020 really started during Darren Clark's Ryder Cup. It was an interesting one. Darren, myself and Thomas Bowen were vice captains, and Darren wanted us to sort out very quickly that we weren't vying captaincy. So myself and Thomas sat down during Hazeltine and said, look, well, I basically said, I want to play Thomas, so I'm not going to... There's no need for us to be buying the best vice captain to get the next job.
Yeah.
The way to let Thomas go the next time, I wanted to be a player for another few more years, and which obviously led it to maybe 2020 is going to be my time. And clearly then, you know, Lee Westwood pretty much and me had that conversation in 2018.
Right.
Is he going to challenge for it in 2020? And he stood aside and said, look, no, I'm not going to challenge, which cleared the way for, I suppose, a unanimous choice of me.
Right, okay. If in a perfect world with timing behaving itself, if you could control time and circumstances, would you have chosen to do it at home? Obviously, you have the greater chance of winning. Or did you fancy a crack at doing it on US soil?
Look, that was a big consideration. It clearly is easier to win at home. The home captain can get more involved, has more control.
Mm.
But if you were to look at the... I don't want to be a... What's the word I'm looking for? But if you were to look at the greater scheme of things, it suits the European Tour for me to take it away.
Yeah.
To play in the US, I have a good profile in the US, and they need that for everything about the Ryder Cup over there, not just trying to win the match, but the brand of the Ryder Cup. They need to have a player who has a profile. So it really suits that I do it away from home. I But age, everything suited, and this is what we were talking about earlier, everything fell into place that this is my time, as long as I decided that I really wanted it to be my time, and you know, that's what I needed to get my head around.
So more than ever, one of the captain's jobs, the home captain's job, is to set up the course to suit his players. And we saw that so clearly in Paris, and I'm sure we'll see that again in 2020. You don't have that responsibility. You pretty much have no say in how the course is going to be set up at Whistling Straits, do you?
None at all.
Okay.
None at all. So the only say I get is there's a captain's agreement, which is a handshake agreement about what can and can't be done during the actual week of the tournament. Up to that, you know, if within reason, you know, if their captain can come and add a bunker, as basically what you've seen over the last number of Ryder Cups, maybe started with Paul McGinley. Before Paul McGinley's time, this was done kind of ad hoc. You know, captain would have an opinion, but now what actually happens is they bring in a statistician, and he says, your team does this better than their team, so you need a golf course like this.
Yeah. And is Whistling Straits a course that is easily malleable and can be tricked up is the wrong word, but you know, can be shaped to suit an American team?
I hope not. I think if we were going to a Hazel team style golf course, like, wow, that's a tough ask, and I wonder would any captain ever want to relish that opportunity to go to, like, if you go to your traditional old American golf course, they'll set it up wide, no rough, fast greens, birdie fest. And that's hard to beat those US guys doing that. But Whistling Straits, I don't believe it lends itself to those options. It's more or less a links style golf course that plays in the wind. It could be poor enough weather at the end of September, start of October in 2020. So yeah, I don't see it necessarily being, they'll do what they can, but I don't see it's necessarily going to be such an easy job to make it so biased towards them. And another thing, and this is changing as we go along, I think it could be much as 11 of the current team have the playing with a full card in the US. So there are more and more Europeans. It's a global game at this stage. So it more and more you see Europeans. The lines are getting blurred between a European-style golf course and US-style golf course.
Yeah, it certainly seems that way.
Or at least styles of play.
So with the course then out of your control, what do you expect will take up a lot or the majority of your thinking time or when you're daydreaming having a cup of coffee? Will it be partnerships? Will it be getting the selection process right so you have guys in form that suit the course that you can somehow manipulate the selection process in so much as you can to get the right guys in the team? Is it vice captains? Might there frankly be months where you're not doing very much?
I think there will be months that I'm not doing very much, but as it gets closer to those selections, there's two main things I have to do. I obviously have to make sure I select players that improve the team, not necessarily the best, not necessarily the 10th, 11th, 12th best players. I've got to pick guys to add to the players who've qualified on merit. And secondly, then, part of that is I've got to know the personalities of the players so that I can match their golfing personalities so I can match them up on the golf course and their personalities so that I know how to interact with them off the golf course and get the most out of them. So that's really my job. To be honest, because of being vice captain and because of having played a number of years, I reasonably have an idea of what I need to do, I suppose, for the things I know. But the things I don't know, that's the problem.
Yeah.
You know, there are unknowns. There's going to be curveballs, and I just have to try. And I suppose you can't predict everything, but I've got to try and have some plan in place when things change and don't go right. And so just to try and cover not being retrospective when I'm there.
Yeah.
That if I can get ahead of it, and even if things go wrong, that I might have seen what was going to happen, but, you know, I can figure a way around.
Well, I guess, the benefit of being vice captain several times is you've seen so many different scenarios now. You've seen in Hazeltine where a morning didn't go well and how Darren Clark had to try and react, and that was probably a very difficult Ryder Cup on a few fronts.
Well, then
Thomas Bjorn, I suppose, maybe more sticks to the plan. You've seen the thought process behind both those things. But the point is, you're an experienced person going into this job now, courtesy of the vice captaincies.
Yeah, well, I'm experienced courtesy of the captains who've gone before and done good and bad things.
Yeah.
So every time a mistake is made, you know, that's, you obviously learn more from your mistakes, but I've seen the good and bad. I saw some really nice good stuff with Thomas, and you know, all the way through, I've seen, you know, clearly you could go all the way back to 99 where the rookies weren't played, and that's never going to happen again.
Yeah,
you know, that's just like literally the rookie or a player would have to have a limb missing for him not to get played. Everybody gets an opportunity, and I think that, you know, things like that have changed over the years. When I played in 99, you know, I was in the prime of my life in 99, and I wasn't due to play any of the matches before the singles.
Mm.
And that brings a lot of fear into the team.
Mm.
There's a lot more information given. Everybody knows that, from my experience, I know you got to give everybody a run out under pressure and see what they're like.
Mm.
Doesn't matter how they play in practice. They play some guys don't practice well. Other guys practice great. You've got to see them under the heat of battle and then work from there onwards. There's lots of things we've seen over the years, but generally it's trying to give the information to the players, make them understand that they're going to get their chance on the golf course. That they don't need to stress it. And even if it doesn't go well in one match, they'll get another chance. It's not as simple as there was definitely years ago in soft tennis, there was a fear you're just not going to be played.
Mm, no doubt. Have you picked your vice captains yet?
No. I have a fair idea who will be my vice captains. Some of them, actually the majority of them would have sneaky hopes of making the team. So
right. Okay.
I'm not going to pick them early in advance, too much in advance.
Yeah.
One will probably come in pretty soon, and then the other maybe in the middle of next year when we have a clearer picture of who's making the team or not. I think gone are the days, unfortunately, when you have your friends and that as vice captains. Nowadays, it is very much more, there's an element of incumbent on me to train up the future captains.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of those vice captains will be potential captains going forward.
Okay, no doubt. I think you were asked about this yesterday, but people mightn't have heard that or might be wondering. So Rory McIlroy is stepping away from the European Tour, it looks like, this year. We presume he'll do what needs to be done to get on the Ryder Cup team next year. Have you spoken to him about that, or do you feel there's no need to?
By text. And I've talked to him through the winter too and different things. Look, you know, Rory said one or two things, but his actions are completely the opposite. He loves the Ryder Cup. He loves the European Tour. He will be... The Ryder Cup gives back to all the players, but even Rory, it gives back something that no other event gives back. They get to go out there, get an opportunity to be heroes, to be loved. You know, the buzz they get. Rory gets a chance to be a leader.
Mm.
You know, the players, he's 30 years of age, but he really has done a good job in the team room of being a leader, and players look up to him, and you know, you can't get that anywhere else. And
yeah.
You know, his accent in the team, he really embraces it.
Mm.
And on the golf course, it's the same thing. This is the sort of stuff you and your vice captain, you're watching, you're seeing his interaction on the golf course, and he can't get that buzz anywhere else. He's playing as an individual, it's great, you're out there, but when you're playing as a team and the crowd are up for it, and you're getting the cheers when you hold putts, and the, you know, even the match he lost in his team with Patrick Reed,
it's amazing.
He's not going to get an experience like that anywhere.
No, it's true. And I presume you don't see it as your job. I presume there's sponsors, and you've got, you know, Keith Pelly is going to be a part of your life now, and all these different people. You don't see it as your role to get involved with Rory this season and say, would you not play the extra two or three events and maybe throw in the Irish Open there as well? That's beyond your brief, I suspect.
No.
Okay. Right. Okay. Good.
No, not at all. And I think with all the players, you know, we want to see Rory play. But Rory likes playing in Europe. You know, you've got to look at the actions. He enjoys his events in Europe. He's great crack when he's playing in Europe. You'll see he enjoys his events and he's out there. And, you know, I think at this very moment, you know, he's moved to the States. You know, he's looking at that Masters. He's trying to get a different preparation for the Masters. But his head will clear very much after that. And Well, he likes playing golf too, and he likes competing. I just say, let's look at his actions, and I think his actions will be all happy with that.
Okay, right. Okay, we'll try and read between the lines there a little bit. Listen, are we taking up enough of your time? I guess what an exciting 18. It's hard to do the maths. What are we? Are we 18 months out? Is it 20 months? Something like that?
I've been heard. Yeah, I must do the maths myself. I think.
Okay.
Yeah, just 19 months.
Okay, so I suspect it'll be an exciting 19 months and lots of you daydreaming, looking out a window, and there'll be pieces of paper all over your house with things like Molinari and Fleetwood written down together and things like this. So the very best to look with it. I'm sure you've seen the coverage here, or well, you haven't actually is the point, but the whole country is obviously absolutely thrilled you got it, and they're all right behind you. So you can imagine the goodwill. So listen, the very best of luck regardless of how it goes.
Yeah, I'd really like to have another Mollywood.
Wouldn't
every captain like that?
Oh, absolutely. Listen, again, big congratulations. Everyone delighted for you. Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Joe.
Off the ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.